Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hope Mindful Compassion Show. My name is Paul Garrigan and I manage the mindfulness program here at Hope.
My name is Hank Nahal. I'm the head counselor at Hope.
So, Hank, it's the start of the new year. So we thought it would be nice to talk about goal setting.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the new year is for a lot of people a good moment to set themselves goals in. And I think most of the people who are listening now can identify with it. I see on Facebook people who set a goal to eat healthier or to exercise more or to quit smoking, yeah, all those goals. We thought it might be a good...
So what is now a good time for setting goals?
That's a good question. I think a lot of people identify it with it's a new start of the new year and then try to improve themselves as a it's a nice milestone. Okay, the new year starts and I'm going to do better.
And what are the benefits of doing it, of setting goals?
There are quite a lot of benefits, actually. I wrote a few down. It's focused on recovery. There's people in recovery, and I like to explain some things about it, about the importance of goals in recovery. And it can be for a number of reasons. The first one I wrote down is, if recovering addicts have no idea about where they want to go, it may mean that their life is a bit aimless. By setting a goal, the individual will have something to aim for. And this relates to the direction, especially in early recovery, but also in recovery, long-term recovery, and in life on itself. To have direction is very helpful to aim for something and to give yourself direction. The second one I wrote down is about accountability. It says, by setting a goal, it means that the recovering addict is accepting some accountability for achieving it. And accountability is an important value for people. And people in early recovery and later on make it a very important thing to be accountable. And if they can add that in their goals and accepting the accountability for achieving it, helps them to do another step forward. The next one I wrote down is that it can be fun to work towards something, and especially the fun for achieving something. I did achieve it. It's fun. It's having direction and working towards something. Yep, a lot of people get joy out of it.
Yeah, because when you hear about goal setting, it kind of sounds kind of dry, but yeah, you say it can be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. The gratification and the self-esteem and the confidence and the view people have on themselves, like, hey, I go forward. And of course, the goal setting on itself is very important. Hey, are they realistic?
And we'll go into that now shortly, after.
Yeah. Having a goal keeps people motivated enough to accomplish things. They will be more willing to work hard when they know it is to achieve something later on. And a lot of addicts are focused on the instant gratification. And in recovery, we learned that the delayed gratification is much more satisfying, basically. Yeah? And there have been a load of tests done on kids, giving them one candy, but if they wait 15 minutes with eating, they get an extra one. Yeah? And it showed that the people who chose for the delayed gratification we're much more successful in life. And it's like a study. I'm going to put all the time and effort in there to get a diploma. It's the delayed gratification, but it really helps people.
And would you say, like, from your own sort of experience of working with clients, that as a, like, you know, I know we're only talking sort of as a rule, like generally speaking, would you say, you know, this tends to be a problem for people who end up in rehab, setting goals and accomplishing them?
Well, when people go to rehab, they have a goal, and it's a big goal. Like, I'm going to get clean and sober. I've been drinking for 30 years, but I'm going to set my goal and act accordingly. I'm going to go to rehab, learn how to live clean and sober. So we do have a big main goal, getting abstinent. Now, to get to that main goal, we need to put a whole lot of little goals, little steps forward. Like, first I'm gonna be every morning at 7:45 at the house to start my morning exercise. I'm gonna do every day an hour work on the assignment set by my counselor. I'm gonna be every group 5 minutes before it starts, I'm going to be there, yeah? Because a lot of people struggle with being on time, man. And I always say in group, like, it's real addict behavior, not being there when you got to be there, yeah? We need to work on it. And it also relates to the accountability and the goals I spoke about a few minutes ago. The next one I wrote down is, there can be a great deal of joy when people manage to achieve a goal. It also increases self-esteem and confidence. And a lot of the clients we see have a very low self-esteem and a lack of confidence in a lot of things. And it needs work. And when people start gaining self-esteem and they see their confidence increasing, they start seeing the light and they become happier and a lot of joy. If people in recovery do not have goals, they may find that their progress slows down. This is because personal growth most often occurs when people challenge themselves. This is quite a challenging environment. We challenge them therapeutically, like, hey, how helpful is this behavior? How helpful is that behavior? And when clients are in treatment, they can keep all their helpful behavior. And we're going to look at it, what's helpful, what's not. And everything that's helpful, you can keep. And everything that's not helpful, we need to replace with a more helpful behavior. So they become good in helping themselves forward. And that's a very important life skill. The personal growth, I wrote down, yeah, that's basically the whole concept of treatment. Hey, that,
so this could almost be like they start to, so they take over, like when they leave here. Like so at the moment, they have the counselor sort of... you know, pushing them, but mm-hmm. basically they could sort of use these goals as sort of coach themselves almost.
Yeah. Recovery is best achieved through self-management. So what we do is self-evaluation. I mean, people look in the mirror and then they evaluate themselves. What's helpful, what's not helpful. Self-evaluation leads to self-improvement. Yeah? They have clear what they need to change, set goals, so they start improving themselves. And if they do that enough, they reach a state of self-management. And when people can manage themselves and manage the responses to other people, manage the responses to the world, manage to keep a job, manage to be their own time, it's a big word, management. But if they achieve self-management, it's how they stay clean and sober. And self-management is like going to meetings, taking action when you need to take action, do the gratitude list, and then self-management, very important. Boredom is dangerous for people in recovery because it can easily lead to relapse. Those people who are working towards a goal are less likely to feel bored with life. And that also relates to the direction, the aim, the delayed gratification. And I'm just going to do the work. And I hold on to that goal. That's something I want to achieve. And boredom is a big thing for people. We could do a whole podcast on boredom on itself. A lot of people in early recovery experience boredom, and then combined with an emptiness, and then combined with a whole lot of time that they were filling with drug and alcohol abuse. It's now time, and we look at how to replace it. But it's a thing a lot of people face. Recovery is often described as a process and not an event. This means that the individual will have more goals to accomplish even after they become sober, because they're not finished after treatment. They're going to start. We just teach them all the tools and are going to help them stay clean and sober. And that's a whole process. And the first goal might be, like we just spoke about, is achieving abstinence. But then there might become a whole lot of goals, and people who take it really serious and are doing well, that you really see them flourish in their lives. And they say, okay, I want to do a study, I want to get my driving license back, I want to rebuild a relationship with my parents. So getting abstinent might be the first goal, and most people get a lot of extra goals, because it's not, okay, I'm abstinent, I'm done now, I'm abstinent, and now I'm going to build on all the things I want to be built. The last one I wrote down is, when people first become sober, they will need to establish a new sense of purpose in their life. They will be able to achieve this by setting themselves some goal. Purpose, and that really relates to fulfillment and satisfaction, all those other words, and having a purpose in life, I think that's crucial for human beings. And to feel satisfied and to feel fulfilled and having a place in the world that gives them self-gratification, or it gives other people gratification or the support they need. Or it's great stuff. I really like setting goals for myself, but also with the clients. And most of the time, we just set one big goal and we start identifying all the steps we need to take and form goals accordingly.
Hank, you've just given us a lot of benefits there.
Mm. Yeah?
But I know from my own experience, my goal for nearly 15 years was to stop alcohol, and I kind of sucked at it, and setting that goal and achieving it. So how do people actually go about setting goals so that they actually achieve them? Is there a process, and what is that process?
Yeah, there is a process. What's for me really important is that they make it realistically, because it was quite a good example you have, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to it. You're in addiction and you want to quit, and you constantly set this goal, but it's too difficult. And we gotta be realistic, basically, because if you're drinking for 30 years, to tell yourself tomorrow you will quit by yourself without any help, with nothing else to do, it's not really realistic. And the desire people feel to achieve abstinence the next day, that might be really real, but the goal needs to be realistic.
Yeah. And because even like, no, because like giving up, say, alcohol or drugs is a huge thing, but I'm just thinking now, so this is the 2nd of January. I mean, there was lots of people at 12 o'clock the other night making all of these resolutions. And I'd say a vast number of them, probably the majority, will have already been broken. So how do you sort of determine what's a realistic goal?
That's a really good question, actually. How do you determine if a goal is realistic? I think if the goal is realistically achievable, that's all right. I can set my goal like I want to be the number one singer of the UK in 6 months. And I might practice it in the coming weeks, but I'm not a good singer. Now, the goal might be realistically, because group-wise, I have as much chance to become the number one as someone else. But talent-wise, I just don't have the talent. I just don't do it. So it might be a realistic goal, like chance-wise, I have the same chance as everybody else. I wouldn't become the number one singer of the UK. I'm quite sure about it. I mean, we need to adjust our goals towards, is it achievable?
For sort of people, say, you know, who come here, have just come from addiction, would you kind of say they might need help with that in the beginning, in even sort of setting goals, and which goals would be appropriate?
Yeah, totally. Now, regularly we divide goals in the long-term goals, medium-term, and the short-term goals. And by working it out, things get more clear. So, step by step, you see, like, is it doable or is it not doable? Is my time frame realistic? And I think goals always need to be subject to evaluation. Like, am I on track or am I not on track?
So that's really important. So, and that's something I actually wanted to go on to. How do you sort of, or when, or how do you decide when it's the wrong goal?
A lot of the people who have problems with goal setting and what's called in therapy, like the perfectionist, more the perfectionist than the high achievers. The perfectionists set the goal so high that they can never achieve it. And most of the time it's quite clear very soon, like, hey, these goals aren't realistic. And a lot of those people have the core belief, like, it challenges me, it makes me work till the max, and then I achieve as much as I can by setting unrealistic goals. But it never gives them satisfaction and fulfillment of achieving the goals. When the moment you start realizing you won't make it till the goal, you have to adjust the goal.
And but are there also people who just sort of, they set a goal that actually is achievable, but they're just not How do you tell that the goal isn't being achieved because you've set it too high or because you're just not putting in sufficient effort?
Yeah, that's something I learned in my early recovery. I was someone who made the goals way too big. Like, I'm cleaning out the garage. Or no, I'm going to clean out the whole house Saturday. Saturday, I got a day off. I'm going to clean my whole house. I would work for 4 or 6 hours sweating and dripping. And then I had enough because it was just too much. So what I had to learn for myself, I had to give myself gratification, fulfillment, those kind of things. I had to make my goal easier to accomplish. And they said, like, just clean out the garage. Saturday, I'm just going to clean out the garage. The rest of the house is fine. I can do that a week later, but just the garage. And even if that was too big, I had to make it smaller. Like, I'm going to clean out 1 square meter of my garage on Saturday. 1 square meter, and that was doable, eh? And then
so a lot of times, then it's not like necessarily a case that you have to abandon the goal completely. It may just be that you need to modify it.
Yeah.
So with the singing example you gave, then, so yeah, maybe singing, like, what was it you said, winning?
When becoming the number one singer in
number
the UK,
number one singer in the UK in 6 months is probably unrealistic. But maybe the person could sort of say, well, maybe in 6 months I'm going to sing in front of some people.
Yeah, that would be a good example. I'm going to do it with my family, with my whole family. I have a family event, and I'm going to make sure I'm going to sing there. I'm going to prepare a song. Now, I'm a really bad singer, so it makes me laugh a little bit by the idea of my whole family sitting, listening to me singing a song. But but something like that. Realistic, doable, achievable. We can't set them too low also, because we need to be challenged a bit and motivated and creating a bit of a drive. But
and that is the next thing. How do we sort of stay motivated in regards to these goals?
I think achievable goals, the achievement in it, that's what gets people motivated. It's doable. I can do it when I am there.
But as a day-to-day thing, as the days are going on, like, how do you sort of stay on track with it?
Evaluation.
Written or just in your head?
I recommend the clients to write it down. Every client has a whiteboard in the room. And if they set 3 goals for the coming week, like every group 5 minutes before it starts, I'm going to be there. I'm going to do every morning, the morning exercise. And I'm going to do an hour or 30 minutes, whatever, of assignment work every day. I recommend them to write this on the whiteboard. It's easily to forget, to be distracted or to make excuses. But that reminder might be really helpful. And then every morning they see it and then have the reminder. I think later on in recovery, writing down might be still helpful, but some people have developed a skill of achieving goals and to be focused and to have the time.
And you have kind of apps for that now, don't you? Like stuff like, you know, with say fitness, you have things like Fitness Pal, where it actually records and you sort of see if you're doing it every day.
Yeah.
Like for the mindfulness, we use Insight Timer, and you can sort of see, you know, your progress. So I suppose those kind of things are handy, aren't they?
Yeah, there are a lot of apps, there are a lot of videos on YouTube of the benefits of goals. You can Google it, and there's an enormous amount of information. It's recommended for people to do that after the treatment. Mm-hmm. In here, we just guide them. Every client has the counselor, helps them, and we do them in the group so the peers are aware, and then they become accountable towards their peers, and they write them on the board. So we use the apps in treatment less. But after treatment, they are great tools for people to help achieve the goals.
Just to sort of finish off, I want to sort of go at a different angle. And it's sort of to do with the kind of, is there a dark side to goal setting? I mean, is there a risk that we sort of devote our life to achieving goals and sort of never really, you know, in that our life becomes this endless improvement project?
That's a good point, yeah. When there is an obsession, when there is a compulsion, when there is mainly the compulsion now. Yeah. Like
I suppose that idea, you know, when I do this, then I'll be okay.
Yeah. It's there is a moment, like all the things in life, that things become unhelpful, or that they start working against you, or that you stop living life and enjoying life because you're obsessed with goals and achieving the goals. There is a risk, like in a lot of things, also goal setting has a pitfall. But if people set themselves healthy goals achievable. They have fun in their life, and that can be a goal in itself, actually. They might be able to get balance in their life. Goals are really helpful, but hello, like the perfectionist I mentioned a bit before, it's known as the highest form of self-abuse because they are never good enough. So there are phases that goals become unhelpful, but people will know when they become unhelpful. And for the majority of people, are perfectly capable to set themselves healthy goals and help themselves forward in life.
One thing I remember, you know, hearing about a long time ago is about this sort of difference, say, between, say, the Thailand and China, this sort of Eastern, you know, approach tends to be more, generally speaking, more process orientated. We're saying in the West, we tend to be more goal orientated. Like, do you think it is important to really, you know, when you're doing these things, to actually really get into the process itself, that rather than sort of, you know, if you're, say, your goal is to, you know, as you say, get number one in the UK, to actually learn to enjoy the actual make the process the sort of, you know, goal in itself.
Yeah. And then a good example would be like when you do a study, that you might get the fulfillment and the achievement of getting the diploma, but the study in itself can be really nice. Hey, if you go on a personal exploration to see what does it mean to me and how can I apply that in life. And yeah, the process is quite an important part, actually, because otherwise there will be no satisfaction until you get the diploma. And
that's only a few minutes, really, of success, isn't it? I mean, if you're always about that end goal, it's only going to be very short lived,
yeah,
isn't it? But
it's
the process, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Is there anything more you wanted to say on this? Any final words of advice?
No, there's nothing popping up in my mind.
Well, I think you've said a lot already. That's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of people use the smart way of goal setting. Yes? Specific, measurable, acceptable, or accountability, realistic, and time-related. It's a proven
method. Where were they found out about that?
Just Google smart goal setting.
SMART.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That's brilliant, Hank. Thanks, Emilio.